We heard the gospel of the day. Jesus was in Cana for this wedding, and when they ran out of wine, they started to whine. We cannot do without the Holy Spirit. This is why the wine in the Bible is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was asked about his disciples, they are not doing the Jewish practices and the fasting and all these things. He said, there's a new wine, and it requires a new wineskin. There's a new testament. There's an outpouring, fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we read about that happened on the day of Pentecost. And that new wine, the Holy Spirit, needs a new wineskin. You know why? Because if you put new wine in an old wineskin, it's already used and weak and stretched so many times, it's going to explode, because new wine releases, as it ferments, it releases gases and pressures the inside of the wineskin. So Jesus said, for that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you need a new wineskin. And that wineskin is the church. And the Holy Spirit will always stretch you and challenge you. And as you cooperate with the Holy Spirit and work with him as he works on you, you become that wineskin that is able to carry his presence and release his presence to the world. About this wine, the Holy Spirit, I'm going to speak today. And I'm preaching from the other scripture of the day, which is from 1 Corinthians 12:1. You heard our sister read it, but I'm going to kind of paraphrase it, Vicar Hanna translation, for you real quick. So Paul received a bunch of questions from the church in Corinth, and in his letter to them, he's trying to answer these questions. One of the questions was about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he starts by saying, now concerning the spiritual, and your Bible says the spiritual gifts, the word gifts is not in the original Greek, so it's better translated about the spiritual realm, the spiritual things, the ways of the Spirit. And he started to, and he said, I don't want you to be uninformed. And we need to be informed about who the Holy Spirit is. The title of the message today is The Unknown God of the Church. So he tells them, you were pagans, you worshipped idols, and you were led all over the place without guidance, for no purpose. It's not like this with Christ. And when the Holy Spirit is leading you, there is a purpose, and the purpose is to glorify Jesus. It's for the glory and fame of Jesus Christ in the church and in the world. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And then he lists 9 of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in this text. And we need to know that there are other lists. There's another list Ephesians, there's another list in 1 Peter, and they're not identical, which means these are suggestive, not inclusive. And the Holy Spirit is very creative. After all, he's the creator. So for every church, for every society, for every age, he gives the gifts that the church needs for its life, worship. So he lists these gifts, which And he says that these are manifestations of the Holy Spirit for the common good. None of the gifts is given to us individuals to enjoy or to be proud about. He talks about the word utterance of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith. And this faith here as a gift of the Holy Spirit is different than the gift of faith that we receive to become children of God. It's faith for very special situations that takes faith, that takes a direct intervention from the Holy Spirit to have you believe and bring that event to existence or change a situation that you are in. Gifts of healing, works of miracles, prophecy, ability to distinguish between spirits. One day, some of Jesus' disciples went to a village and said that they didn't accept your message and they rejected you. How about we call God to send fire from heaven and burn them? Wouldn't that be a cool idea? He said, you don't know what spirit are you from. You don't know who's inspiring you these words. So distinguishing of the spirits is very very important gift of the Spirit. There are things that look good, but they are not of God. And there are things that look bad, and they are from God. And he shows us the good in them. So he says that the Holy Spirit does all this. But did you notice that while speaking about the gifts, he actually focuses a lot on the giver, the Holy Spirit himself? 8 times in this short passage, he says the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit himself, the same Spirit. So the giver is his focus. So Paul calls these phenomena that the Corinthians were experiencing and not really fully understanding, he calls them the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to go back to the book of Acts and stop at two places, two scenes for the apostle Paul. Scene number one, in Athens. While waiting in Athens for his traveling companions, Paul's spirit is stirred when he notices the city has given itself totally to the worship of pagan gods in Athens. And he walks on, and he finds a bays without a statue of a god. And then when he gets closer, he's able to read these words, dedicated to an unknown God. And Paul thinks to himself, yes, God is unknown in this city. Those Athenians know all kinds of gods except the one and only true God. We thank God that we know him. He made himself known to us through Jesus Christ. His Spirit gave us the gift of faith and life. We know God as our Father, and we come to him through Jesus Christ, his Son. Scene number two, the city is Ephesus, this time a couple of years after his visit to Athens, about the year 52 AD, Paul returns to Ephesus. Shortly after arriving in the city, Paul runs across some disciples and asks them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And their answer was, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And then Paul lays his hands upon them, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they start prophesying and speaking in tongues. Reading that part from the book of Acts made me think and ask myself questions. Do we disciples in the 21st century know the Holy Spirit? Or does the Holy Spirit continue to be the unknown God of the church? How well do we know the Holy Spirit? Paul said, I don't want you to be uninformed. The Ephesian disciples have not heard of the Holy Spirit. We thank God that we have heard about the Holy Spirit. Each time we come together to worship, we confess our creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. And in the first service today, we sang this song, O Holy Spirit, grant us grace. But how well do we truly know the Holy Spirit? Well, the question came up as I looked at the life of the early disciples, and to try and find an answer, let's look a little closer to the life of the early disciples in the early church. How real was the Holy Spirit to them, and is he as real to us in our life and in our church life as he was real to them? The early disciples waited as Jesus commanded them in Jerusalem in order to receive the Holy Spirit, because they knew that they can do nothing without him. That's in Acts chapters 1 and 2. Acts chapter 13, while they're worshiping, that's in Antioch, while they're worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, Holy Spirit was not silent with the early disciples. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. He was the Lord. When he spoke, everyone listened and followed his instructions. In verse 4, same chapter, so being sent by the Holy Spirit, so he's the one who sends. A huge argument arose between the Jewish background disciples and the new Gentile believers. That conflict had the potential to divide and destroy the church. The top leaders of the church met in Jerusalem along with Paul and Barnabas to discuss the issue and come up with answers. At the end of their council, they wrote a letter with their decisions, and it goes like this. The brothers, that's them, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles. And a few verses later, they continue to say, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than those, and they listed the things that they have decided. The Holy Spirit is the one the church turned to for problem solving and for decision making in critical times. We move on the book of Acts, Acts 21. Paul and his apostolic team are in Caesarea on his way to Jerusalem. This is when he goes to Jerusalem and gets arrested and sent to Rome for trial. They were guests guests of Philip the evangelist. They stayed at his place, about whom Luke, the author of the book of Acts, says, he had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. And Luke continues to say, while we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Thus says the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is present. He's active, he's real, he's speaking, he's leading the church. He is God of the church. The prophet Agabus, as you heard, uses the same phrase that the prophets of the Old Testament use before they deliver a message from God, except he said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit." God, the Holy Spirit, is not only with us, he's in us, said Jesus. However, he's the gentle Spirit who appeared in bodily form as a dove at Jesus' baptism. He's so gentle. He will only take the space we will give him. And if we ignore him or push him away, he will be pushed away. He will not impose himself or force us to honor him. And such is God. He respects our free will. He wants us to worship him with a willing heart. What else we can learn about the Holy Spirit? Paul, writing to the Ephesians, whom he met with earlier, a letter, and he says the Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Spirit of God can be grieved. In Ephesians 4:30, he says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed." You were sealed by the Holy Spirit. You were baptized. But you can grieve that Holy Spirit. And he says that in the context of giving them commandments for life, how a disciple, a saved person, should live. He says, speak the truth, be honest and generous, watch what comes out of your mouths, let go of bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, slander, malice, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave us. If you do, if you follow these commandments, you will not grieve the Holy Spirit, because you can grieve him. Or you can please him. You can honor him and please him. As in the same passage, Paul says, speak what builds up others as fit for the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. That's when we partner with the Holy Spirit giving grace. Who's the giver of grace? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the same word, charis. Charis, grace. The Apostle Paul uses earlier in the book, in his letter to the Ephesians, when he says, we are saved by grace, charis. And when you speak the words of encouragement and to build up your brother and sister, you're partnering with the Holy Spirit. You become a charis, a grace dispenser. What else can we learn about the Holy Spirit? He can be quenched. Writing to the Thessalonians, Paul says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. And he says that in the context of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you ignore what the Holy Spirit has to give, you're quenching the Holy Spirit. And so this wonderful Holy Spirit gives us gifts. As we learn from today's text, he gives all kinds of gifts. And again, this word gifts, charisma, is from the same root, charis, grace. They are gifts of grace, and they are gifts to release grace of God within the church and to the world. It's the tools that the Holy Spirit gives us to dispense God's love and his grace. Someone said that the gifts of the Holy Spirit is God's love language. When they are practiced, when we operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, when we let the Holy Spirit do his work of healing in the life of somebody, it's like God is giving them a kiss. God is telling them, I love you, I care about you. And that's just one example. I'm not preaching exactly about healing. It's the same word we get, the English word, charismatic, when we say this is a charismatic leader. I mean, like we mean he's gifted. So, but they are gifts of grace, charisma, gifts of charis, grace. And from today's Bible reading, we learn that these gifts are, one, for everyone, for every member of the body of Christ. You need to ask God, what is my gift? What are my gifts? And when you know, use them, stir them. Also, God energizes, touches, anoints your natural gifts. The word natural gifts is actually, or phrase, is actually misleading. Because we were not giving these gifts by nature. It's, again, it's gifts of God. God made you who you are. Your strengths are given to you by God. Your talents are given to you by God. And he touches and energizes and anoints these gifts for you to use in the church and in the world. Number two, Holy Spirit gives them according to his wisdom. He knows best. And that doesn't mean that we would be passive about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like with this kind of attitude. God knows my address, and if he wants to give me a gift of the Holy Spirit, he can. I'll take it. No, we are commanded in the same letter, just the following chapter, Paul says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Number three, he gives the gifts for the benefit and encouragement, edification, effectiveness of the life of the church. Your spiritual gifts, as well as your natural gifts, are not merit badges. They are service towels to serve others. Number four, he also gives the gifts. The Holy Spirit gives his gifts to equip the church for effective and fruitful witness to preach the gospel to the world. Cannot be stated more clearly than in Hebrews 2:3. The author of Hebrew is speaking about the gospel, and he says, it was declared at first by the Lord Jesus himself, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So, in conclusion, I would like to borrow the title of that song we sang earlier in the first service. Oh, Holy Spirit, grant us grace. Grant us grace to love you and honor you, to have an intimate fellowship with you. Grant us grace to give you your rightful place as the leader, the Lord, the God of the church. Grant us grace to partner with you and to be co-workers with you, equipped by your gifts. Grant us grace to humbly and lovingly serve and encourage and edify each other. Grant us grace to go out to the world in your power and preach the gospel of grace while you bear witness with us by signs and wonders and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Him, the Holy Spirit. Amen.